Thank you, Dennis. As I sat here and looked at the banners, and I hope all of us pay attention to the banners on a regular basis, a couple weeks ago, I knew what I wanted to say. And with the Easter theme, I thought, I don't know how often those banners get changed or when they get changed, but thank you, Lord, for leaving the banners up. Hallelujah. When we first started talking about this event in Women's Guild, it was the last week in Lent. So my mind was focused on the events of Easter, and especially that last week of Lent. And so the theme was about women, and I thought, what woman in the Bible do I consider a role model? Well, they all are. But first, my attention was drawn to the Old Testament, and I thought, there's Eve. Ruth is one of my favorites. But then I went over to the New Testament for a little while, and without hesitation, I thought, there's a woman in the New Testament that I want to talk about that day. She was unique. She was one of a kind. She seized upon opportunities as they were presented to her. She didn't shy away. She seized the opportunities. That woman is Mary Magdalene. Now, we have read things and heard things about Mary Magdalene, some not as favorable as others, and I'll speak more about those later. But the reason I chose Mary Magdalene to talk about is the fact that she, a woman, in an age where women just didn't have any clout, she was the one that God chose not to hear the message from Jesus, but what did the angel tell her? Go tell. He gave this woman this wonderful opportunity, which was the beginning of our church today. I'm not a women's liber. My daughter can tell you that. But I think probably in this little sermonette, I'd almost be classed as a woman's liber. My apologies, gentlemen. This Mary Magdalene was so many things. She was, the main thing is she was present in all the key events of Jesus' life. Well, what do we know about her? Mary was the most common name at that time. Everybody was Mary. And friends and family had to figure out a way to distinguish from one Mary to the next. So oftentimes they used the place of birth as a descriptor. And because, my apologies to Dennis, because I'm probably not pronouncing this right, Mary was born in Magdala. So thus, she became Mary Magdalene. And that was what she was known as, because she had that common name, Mary. They had to figure out a way to make her unique, and she was unique. The idea of a woman being a primary witness in the time of Jesus' crucifixion was unheard of. Women's words were not thought of. They didn't carry much clout, either in the court of law or just everyday life. Oh, who's she? She's just a woman. But the testimony of Mary Magdalene is responsible for the religion we practice today. Accounts of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Salome came about, and this happened, it changed the status of women. Because who ever heard tell of a woman being the one to spread the word? She didn't know anything. Mary Magdalene was a couple years older than Jesus. Jesus was born in Nazareth, a town about 15 miles from Magnolia, where Mary was born. But she was a contemporary of his. The accounts that I read indicate that she was probably a few years older than he. And we wonder how Mary Magdalene got into this role. Well, she heard about this rabbi who was telling, she heard about this rabbi who was preaching, and she thought, I better go. I want to go and find out what this man is saying. And she liked what she heard. Now, in some accounts, Mary Magdalene is also called a working woman, which is not exactly a good descriptor. But I found out that what working woman meant back then was the fact that chances are she owned a house or houses, and she and the small band of women who worked with her provided the places for Jesus and his disciples to meet. So she was a financial backer of Jesus' ministry. She liked what she heard, as I said, so she followed him and his disciples, providing the necessary tools in the way of money and provisions. She traveled by foot with the group with no guarantee of food or lodging. No guarantee. This serving, caring ministry provided for the immediate needs as they labored for their king. Mary Magdalene was a friend, a contemporary, and a student of Jesus. In the four Gospels, she was named at least 12 times, more so than some of the apostles. She was also the only person in all four Gospels that was described as being the first to realize that Jesus had risen and to testify to that fact. Just think about it. What if Mary had just been quiet and not said anything after the angel talked with her? Where would we be today? Not too much is said in the New Testament about Mary Magdalene until Jesus' crucifixion. We know that she was with that small group that was gathered at the foot of the cross. We know she and the other women saw Jesus draw his last breath. She was still serving a caring ministry by being with him in his last moments. She and the other women watched as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took Jesus' body gently from the cross. And because the Sabbath was coming very soon, they needed to put his body someplace where it wouldn't be disturbed till they could finish the rest of the rites of burial. So she and the other women followed Joseph and Nicodemus to see where they were going to put the body. And what did they see? We all know they saw somebody roll a big stone after they put his body in there. Somebody rolled a big stone there so nobody could get to the body. What could they do? They couldn't do anything because it was a Sabbath. They couldn't buy spices. They couldn't anoint his body. They couldn't carry out their caring, serving ministry until the Sabbath was over. So after the Sabbath was over, they hied themselves to purchase the necessary spices. Now, this is not something that we do today, but this was a sign of love and devotion. And bringing the spices to the site of the burial was sort of like taking flowers to a grave today. As the ladies walked toward this place, they had seen Joseph put Jesus' body. They thought, how on earth can we get that big stone rolled away? We've got to get that rolled away so we can anoint our Lord. Well, we all know what happened in the story. Their work was done for them. And Matthew and Mark tell us there was one angel standing there, and Luke and John tell us there were two, but both of them tell us what the angel said was, "Do not be afraid. He is not here. Come and see. Go quickly and tell." Go quickly and tell. When Mary, later in the story, when Mary encounters Jesus, she reaches out to touch him. She doesn't know who he is. She reaches out to touch his body. And he says, "Do not touch me," because his body was spiritual. It no longer could be touched and anointed. These women of this incident could do nothing but watch. They didn't have the wherewithal to speak in Jesus' defense before the Sanhedrin. They couldn't appeal to Pilate. They were unable to stand against the crowds, and they couldn't overpower the Roman guards. But they stayed at the cross. They followed his body to the tomb. They prepared spices to anoint his body. They did what they could do. They took advantage of the opportunities they were given. What a woman Mary Magdalene was. She seized all the opportunities that confronted her. She was described as an apostle to the apostles. Because she was a woman of means, or a working woman, she was able to monetarily provide for Jesus' ministry. She stayed with him through the good and the bad. All this in a time that we find hard to imagine, a time where women were not regarded as equals to men. Greek folklore tells us that after the crucifixion, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene took a basket of eggs and they put at the foot of Jesus' cross, on which his body hung, on which the blood was dripping down. Jesus' blood turned those eggs red. Thus, the Greeks explanation of dying eggs. And this goes a little bit further. Mary Magdalene was invited to a banquet that Emperor Julius Tiberius was giving. And she greeted him with the words, "Christ is risen." Caesar laughed and he pointed at a plain egg there on the table and he said, "That egg has a better chance of turning red than a man rising from the dead." Mary picked up the egg. It immediately turned red. Thus, our tradition of dying eggs at Easter. In closing, let us, women and men, ask ourselves, do we, each one of us, show true devotion and dedication to the Lord today as Mary Magdalene did then? I will close with a poem from a poet I never heard of. I probably can't even pronounce his or her name right, but the title of the poem is A Godly Woman, and it was written in 2003 by M.S. Lowndes. A woman of beauty, a woman of grace, a woman of excellence beholding God's face. She walks with the Lord with integrity, knowing her purpose and destiny. No matter what happens, she walks in God's love, reflecting the beauty of her Father above.